as the technology has continued to be refined in terms of how we use audio media, there's always been this kind of like death knell that's been predicted for radio. What podcasting has done is it's introduced some elements to spoken audio that are much more in line with where millennials and Gen Zers are now.
In a culture as politically polarized and aggressively tribalized as ours, how do people change their minds? I'm Georgie Borman, a mother and cultural commentator born and raised on the West Coast. I want to know what we can learn from people who've been on both sides of contentious issues, whether they end up on the right or the left. That's what this podcast is about. Welcome to the 180 Cast.
So you had a lot of scandal with like Napster and people that were pirating things. And there was just kind of this negative yuck.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the program with me today. I wanted to pick your brain on podcasting. As I understand it, you have had a change of mind about podcasting and its role in commentary. You've been in talk radio for a long time. How long have you been in talk radio?
Too long. I'm an old man by the community standards, but I'm fairly young in the actual industry. So I've been doing what I do now about 20 years. But like I said, it seems like much longer than that. When you work in daily talk radio, you go through a grind that makes you feel like you live like four or five lifetimes every year because the news is so intense and everything changes all the time. So I'd love it. I don't feel like I actually really work very hard, but I know that I do because I'm not as young as I used to be. So
that's awesome. I've been in a similar situation where I worked at a startup and it just felt like one quarter was at least a year long. Everything moves so fast. So you know the ins and outs of talk radio and this genre. It's a genre that I grew up listening to, so I'm a bit of a talk radio junkie, or at least I was definitely in high school. There was some talk not too long ago about the death of talk radio, even though it's such a well-established medium for conservative commentary especially. Where was podcasting at that point, and what was your perspective on podcasting, you know, in light of that doom prediction?
Well, I remember the advent of the internet. So this is, you know, I got to see it coming, and there's been a lot of things that have predicted the demise of radio over time. Everything thought that the next thing was going to kill radio. When the very first televisions came out, people were like, oh, radio's done for. It'll never survive. And then you had records and cassettes, and then you had CDs, and then you had digital downloads. And as the technology has continued to be refined in terms of how we use audio media, there's always been this kind of like death knell that's been predicted for radio. And in terms of, I guess, the technical purity of radio, where we send a signal through a mixer board and it goes to a transmitter and then people receive it from a radio signal that comes into a device that they're holding, there may be some truth to that. But I don't think that the genre of spoken commentary, spoken audio, and certainly not commentary that is deliverable to masses that are seeking it is anywhere near dying. But I did think that when podcasting first got started, that it was going to pollute the process. I really thought that this was going to be something that was going to take away from the effectiveness of what these really great communicators that had built these massive radio platforms were really trying to accomplish. And I was very much nonplussed by podcasts for the first, you know, 5, 6, 10 years that they existed. And it's only been in recent years that I've really seen from both the business model and from the effect that they are now having on the youngest generation. You mentioned you listened to talk radio in high school. You have to be one of the nerdiest people I've ever heard in my life because I didn't know another single human being besides myself that listened to talk radio when I was that age. So it's always been an older media, but what podcasting has done is it's introduced some elements to spoken audio that are much more in line with where millennials and Gen Zers are now, because it's on their time, on their schedule, and it's content that you can truly kind of, you know, cull through and figure out what you want to listen to, and you set the kind of boundaries of what the content is in advance. And I think it's one of the most exciting things. I think it's revived talk media as opposed to having the opposite effect, which I thought was going to be diluting it.
Interesting. Okay, so take me back to that point when you were, like you said, nonplussed by podcasting. What were the things that you were hearing? What were the cues that you were picking up on that led you to have that perspective on podcasting and to be skeptical of it? Like what were you hearing?
The idea at that time, and podcasts kind of came about the same amount of it's about the same history that digital music was converting from CDs to downloads. And so you had a lot of scandal with like Napster and people that were pirating things, and there was just kind of this negative yuck to this idea that these digital devices were going to be as satisfactory in terms of delivering a content to a listener that they were going to get from turning on their radio that came on at the predictable time and they knew when it was on, and really how we thought about it. So we used to order our life around the media that we wanted to listen to. So going back to World War II, for example, when the president would speak and he'd have his fireside chats, the Roosevelt fireside chats, those were always something that the family would schedule its whole day around, and then they would plan on having that time off to sit in the living room and listen to that broadcast at night. As we got into the modern era, even as early as my high school career, people would live their life according to the contests that were on the morning shows. So for instance, in Dallas, where I grew up, KBIL 103.7 FM was going to give away their $5,000, weekly prize. You could almost always guarantee that it was going to be Thursday at 7:20, and people that were on their way to school, in their cars in high school, and people that were on their way to work, they would build this kind of anticipatory event that we ordered everything around. What podcasting began to do was it began to say, you don't have to live your life around the media. You can schedule the media around your life. And that was a change. That was a significant change for the average media consumer. And I think a lot of us in the early stages didn't see that coming and didn't understand how that was going to work, partly because we didn't have the delivery devices that we have now. Now everybody has basically a podcast player on their phone. It's basically a jukebox in our pocket. Our entire iTunes are all on it, but all the podcasts we want to listen to, we can access them at any time we want, and we can listen to as many of them as we want without any kind of interruption. That was a dynamic seismic shift in the world of deliverable spoken word content, and it has blossomed now in ways that I think even some of the people that invented it never really believed it. 2018 was the year in which the podcast became the equivalent billing mechanism for marketing and ad dollars to television and radio. And that had not happened in years past. So it's a new day.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is from the skeptical perspective, it looks like podcasts are contributing to the fragmentation of our pop culture. Whereas, the same thing, it's kind of the same thing with streaming services like Netflix and Hulu. Not everybody is watching the same thing, except maybe Game of Thrones. So I can see where you are coming from and being a little bit concerned that everybody listening to their own thing and sort of being in their own bubble might break us up a little bit. Like there would be less unity and fewer standards regarding what we're all listening to.
I don't even know if I thought about it that deeply, but what you were just saying really strikes a chord with me, because going back to the Roosevelt fireside chats in World War II, that was a family event. A community was built around scheduling your life to conform to when the media was available. Again, all the people listening to the morning show in the 70s and 80s on their way to school or work, they're all part of the community of something that's happening at that time, at that moment. And there's this identity. The fracturing that you just described absolutely took place because now nobody has to be anywhere at the same time because of the personalization of the delivery of the medium. So yeah, it was an uppercut to the jaw of the traditional media powers. I don't think that any of them could really anticipate where it was going to go. And the really smart conglomerates have now all gotten into the podcasting game. So they went from being skeptical to being true believers as well. But it took us a little bit of understanding of what was happening and how we were going to have to deliver our content better and even, you know, more consistently than we had before.
Was there a sort of moment where you were like, aha, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was? Or was this sort of a slow evolution in changing your mind about podcasting where you just woke up one day and you were like, it's not so bad. You know, this could be cool.
I think for me personally, it boiled down to how I began to adopt my usage of podcasts. So my radio show has always produced podcasts. And for the longest portion of time from when we started podcasting the show, I ignored the statistics and what was happening. But then I found a couple of podcasts that I started saying, oh, you know, I have value in checking into that, you know, on a regular basis. And then some of my favorite Bible teachers have podcasts. And so there were things that I would gain from a spiritual perspective by tapping into a pastor that lived in a town, two towns over, in a church I couldn't go to, but I really wanted to hear what he had to say about this passage of scripture or this theological concept. And that little feature in iTunes where you can subscribe to the podcast that they list became a delivery service to me. It was my private, go out and get it, kind of like a pizza delivery guy bringing you the meal at night. This was bringing me the podcasts I wanted, lining them all up in my queue, and the ones that I would choose to listen to, I could ignore them, I could let them sit there forever. But it was, again, it was the kind of aha moment was, is like, man, I can be anywhere at any time and get what I want to listen to customized for just me. And as I began to become a podcast consumer, then from the flip side of the equation, I started looking into the statistics of what my own podcasts were doing and where they were going. And I discovered from almost the beginning, when you're locked into geographical radio, for example, and you're a single market talk show host, you're only heard in that area. When you're a syndicated talk show host, you're heard in however many areas they have radio stations that can syndicate you. But from the first week that we podcasted, I was heard in 50 different countries by people that were downloading me in places that I didn't even dream of ever broadcasting to, places in Turkey and Israel and Ethiopia. And I remember these countries popping into the statistics that I would be looking at and going, how in the world did they even know that it was there? To this day, I'm not even sure. But I know that as we've done it longer and as we've done it more consistently, the audience for it has grown, but also the geography, the footprint continues to grow around the world. So there were kind of a series of things that began to open my eyes. But I think to answer your question most specifically, I think it was specifically the how I utilized it myself led to the discovery of what it was really meaning to other people.
Yeah, that consumer perspective is so valuable.
Yep.
So, do you think podcasting allows, because it's more of a looser format, do you think that that can allow maybe more of an in-depth conversation, a more contemplative look at the news than we're typically able to get in the short segments that we do in talk radio? Do you find these to be complementary to each other, or is podcasting really the next step in the evolution of talk radio?
I think the answer is both and. See, there are people that listen to podcasts that don't have a great deal of time, and so they're still going to want their abbreviated news update, but they want it condensed in such a way that it gives them what they're looking for. And then there's going to be other people that would like to take an hour to an hour and a half to sit and really hear a topic mulled over or maybe debated from two different philosophical viewpoints. And I think that as the marketplace tells us what people want, you're going to find podcasters to fill the gap and go, okay, I'll be able to deliver that to that person because I know that's what they're looking for. The one thing that I think podcasting has done to the talk radio industry specifically is that I think it's made talk radio get better at what it should have never gotten sloppy at. I'm not sure that it ever did, but it's caused them to get better because we're now not competing against just the three or four talk stations that are in our market or against the 200 talk show hosts that are syndicated across the country. We are now competing against 59,000 podcasts that are in iTunes and another 72,000 that are in SoundCloud and the other, you know, 100,000 that are put out by various other streaming services that are out there and the Westwood Ones and the private media companies like the Daily Wire and CRTV and the Blaze and even Fox News and their digital arena now. Everybody has figured out that original content, and this has always been true, but content is king, and original content is the most valuable. I think for me, as someone who kind of plays in all of the sandboxes simultaneously, because we produce audio that's radio, audio podcast, video podcast, we're on television, we do extra long features, for example, of interviews that we can't get the whole thing on the air, but we'll tell our listeners on the air, hey, if you want to hear the extended conversation about this, go get the podcast from the feature section. There's so many different ways to use good content. It's made everyone that does content think more precisely and strategically about the content that they're creating.
Power of the marketplace.
Yeah. And personal interest. You can have someone that does a podcast purely based on their passions, and they may only have 5, 10, 50 listeners over the course of that time. But do they really care if it's something that they're passionate about? Far less so than if they're going, oh, I have to build the biggest audience ever and make this commercially profitable. The podcast arena is the blank slate for spoken word audio. And it's what the producer of the content wants to make of it that it can become. And I think that's one of the really ingenious joys of why you're seeing such an explosion in that arena right now.
It is. When a lot of the podcasts I listen to, the passion that comes through from the people who are creating this content is something special. You don't get that with everybody. Certainly, you can find it on radio, and you definitely do. But it is just, that is a joy that listeners can take part in when, even if you're listening to something that's not exactly up your alley, to be able to hear somebody be so passionate and become such an expert in their field is pretty awesome. You know, I'm a curious person, so as long as whoever I'm talking to is really interested in what they're saying, then I'm interested in what they're saying. I just think that's awesome.
Yeah, that was the genius of talk radio, and I think the best podcasters out there have captured that same quality.
Absolutely. Well, I am excited. And I'm excited about where this podcast is going. And this is why I've gotten into podcasting, because I am just so stoked about this format and being able to interview people who have changed their minds on things. I really hope that it finds an audience and that my passion for the subject is coming through, because none of this has seemed like work so far. Like, none of it as all has seemed like work. So I am so glad to be doing this, and I'm so grateful for your help, Kevin.
Well, first of all, you're a joy to work with because you've got a lot to say. But let me play interviewer for a second. I think your listeners would be very curious, because I am, as to how you came to decide what the core of your podcast was going to be. Because I've talked to a lot of podcasters. I've talked to a lot of broadcasters. I know everybody in the syndicated radio business. I'd never heard of the idea of just talking and interviewing people and getting kind of the narrative and the story behind why they changed their mind on some big crucial issue. So what was it about that kind of idea that scratched what itch for you?
Well, my background is in anthropology. So I spent a lot of time in college reading and listening to perspectives that were totally foreign to me, and really listening to people and where they're coming from in a holistic perspective, not just seeing people as Republicans and Democrats or liberals and libertarians and conservatives, but really seeing where they're coming from in terms of their whole background. So I think in a sense, I've always been interested in where other people are coming from and what we can learn from those other perspectives. I have my own first principles. I have my own values, and I espouse those pretty much every day. But if I'm not listening to other people who have different views, then I'm not going to be very good at what I do. Now, what I really liked about the idea for this podcast is, oh, we can talk to people who have actually been on both sides, not just the other side, but both sides. What sort of insight can we gather from people who have seen it from both sides of the glass? There hasn't really been, like you said, an emphasis on that. And that perspective is not only just super interesting, like how do people change their minds, especially in a culture and a political environment as totally polarized as ours? Are you even allowed to change your mind? So those are the kind of people I want to hear from, because to change your mind, especially if you are a heavy participant in the political environment, is a pretty brave thing to do. You must have some pretty good reasons for changing your mind. And that's what I want to get into. So I think people on the right and left can listen to this podcast and take something away from it, because they'd be like, we lost that person because of X, Y, and Z, or, oh, I never thought about that argument for this thing over here. I should think about incorporating that into my discussions with other people who have differing views from me. So that's where I'm coming from.
I loved the concept the first day you mentioned it, and I thought this needs to be done. So when you were telling me about it, I was glad to join the force, and I'm going to look forward to every episode because I'm fascinated by the idea, and I think that you're going to have a lot of great conversations to come.
Me too. I really think so. Well, thank you so much for joining the program and taking the time to talk with me about this. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to future episodes of the 180 Cast. You can follow the podcast on social media at 180 Cast. Give us a review on iTunes if you like the podcast. You can also send me your feedback via direct message on Twitter at 180cast. And if you have your own 180 story to share, please hit me up on Twitter as well. And you can follow me at Georgie_Borman if you so choose, but you definitely don't have to. Until next time, seek the truth, share your values, and listen with your heart and your mind. God bless.